we've got a really exciting guest coming up.
Oh, haven't we indeed? Absolute SA sporting royalty. Legend. Phil Smythe joins us. G'day, Phil. Good morning to you, mate.
Oh, pleasure to be on the show, boys. I can't believe that you haven't dumped Cornsey and Cooney's your man. Just, you need to revamp that intro, boys. So I say Coons is in, Corns gone.
Yeah,
well,
thank you.
So what we do know, Smile, is when you talk, things happen. So there you go. You're the voice.
Not sure what's going to happen in this interview. I'm nervous now.
I'll tell you what as well. If anyone, even the great Kane Corns probably wouldn't challenge you on this one. So... yeah, it's going to be a very interesting situation. Mate, good to have you in for a chat this morning. First of all, take us through this new role with North Adelaide. We spoke to Jacob Surgeon a couple of days ago.
Yeah, no, Surge spoke to me last year about seeing if I could help him, but I just had a bit too much on last year. And then we caught up at the end of the season. We spoke again, said if I could come in and give him a hand, try and just a different set of eyes to help him with his coaching and improve his coaching and spend some time with the other coaches as well and help them. And then obviously with the playing group, do a little bit of stuff with their leadership, try and refresh it a little bit and see if they can take that extra step this year into the finals.
So how hands-on is that role, Smythe? How many days a week are you down at the club?
Mate, you know how it starts out? And you blokes have both played in premierships and Brownlow medals and all that stuff. You know, you start off with, look, I reckon I'll be good for, a couple of hours a week. So they had their first run at the uni track, mate. So I was down there. Didn't participate in the running, but watched it go. And then I caught up with Serge yesterday. So and I'll catch up with him later on today. So I reckon it's going to elevate to about 4 or 5 days a week. I'll be at game day, be in the coach's box. Watch the way the coaches interact with each other and try and give them some feedback on that. Stay away from the intricacies of the game. That's not my area. And I reckon sometimes with coaches over the journey for me when I've worked with them in the footy world of different sports, I think they're comforted by the fact that you're not going to talk to them, unless they ask, you know, about zones or stuff or what did you see. I never talk to them about the intricacies of the game because, again, I'm not an expert in that area.
So what sort of things are you looking for this year in the coach's box? Is it cohesion? Will you be giving advice on some of the language that comes out? What sort of things do you look for in the box?
Yeah, definitely touch on that. Look, there's a couple of things, isn't it? And sport's an emotive game. Are we calm? Are we communicating well with the players? You know, if you're talking to the... We'll go with the midfield because everyone says the midfield's the most important, be it forward line or your back line. We're in a room with 8 guys, mate, and I'm watching... You deliver your message. Is it going too long? You're hitting on your key points. And more importantly, mate, if you engage the whole group, you know, you guys have been in those meetings where 6 guys are switched on and 2 guys are checking out how many holes are in the ceiling or watching the fly buzz around and go, listen. Or some guys are legitimately trying to listen, but they're not receiving the message. So you've got to get them and talk to them privately. And then sometimes down on the ground, the message that you're going to deliver, you know, how's that coming out? And I call them buzzwords. What's a word that'll impact when you talk to the group as opposed to the repetitive stuff week after week after week. So there'd be a fair bit of that going on. And then sitting with them and, I gave Serge a book to read. And Serge's not a great book reader. I said, mate, here's your first assignment. I want you to read Neil Danaher's book. And he said, mate, I can't remember the last time I read a book. I said, well, you need to read this one. So, it's just finding different things to stimulate the group and stimulate the players.
Oh, it's funny, Smythe, used to say that. We had a bit of a reunion a couple of years ago. We had to... speak, this is out at Central Districts in front of the President's Lunch or whatever it was, and sort of go through one story. And I quickly told this story about it was a Friday night. We'd have these big meetings where we'd fire up and then go home straight to bed. So it was, not sure there was much point in it, but I remember Roy taking us through one of them and firing us up. And I was so spaced out, I'm not sure that I was actually even alive. And all I remember was... Roy throwing to me, asking me a question, and I couldn't even recap. So I had to say to him, sorry, what was the question again? And the whole room lost it. And we ended up just calling the meeting and finishing it there. So those blokes that you're talking about who are counting the holes in the ceiling, that was me. And I dare say it might have been Adam Cooney as well.
Oh, mate. There's been some ripping ones across the journey. Remember Russell Leavitt, the great Russell Leavitt, who just passed away, telling me when he joined North Melbourne, they'd started pre-season training and they had their first game and they got beaten. Of course, it was the super side and Barras was known for fire and brimstone. So he's got the boys in Monday. And, of course, you know, we've got the theatres now, but he put out the chairs and had it set up like a classroom, which was unheard of back then, and had the footy in his hand. He was screaming at the bloke saying, this is the most important thing in the game. And if we haven't got this, we're no good. And on and on and on he went for about 7 minutes, and then Brass finally said, all right, any questions? one of the blokes in the back put his hand up and said, "That's a good speech for him. What's that thing you're holding in your hand?" So he didn't play the next week, by the way. Russ said he got a nice run of the reserve. So I think the fire and brimstone, there's a little bit of, there's still some need for it, but yeah. I think it's watered down a lot now. So a big part of it is, you know, let's make sure that we're all rowing in the same direction. And what you said, mate, if you go to a meeting where a bloke's going off all the time, I reckon Rodney Ead would probably eat the cake, wouldn't he? Coons for a bloke that could go off better than anyone else, mate, and guys just switch off straight away.
Yeah, yeah, he probably takes the cake in that area. We didn't have a game plan. We were just actually too scared to lose. That was our game plan.
I'm going to make a note of that one. I'm bringing that one in with Serge and the boys, mate. Intimidate.
Yeah. Well, it worked for a few years, and then we all just got too scared and didn't want to play anymore of it. So it's got its limits. So do you think this is a generational thing, though? I mean, in terms of how players are receiving feedback now, obviously things are, you mentioned the fire and brimstone. It comes out occasionally, whereas it would be two or three times a training session back when I played, and certainly throughout every quarter, throughout every game, and if you lost, it would be after the game. So is that just a generational thing, how the language has changed and things are more positive now?
Yeah, I reckon you're right. I reckon it is a generation thing. You know, some people argue that we've got a little bit softer. I think it's the nature of the beast. If you go back, depending which generation you start in, you know, the Alan Jeans, Dave Buckman, Fire and Brimstone, Barass, that kind of, it was what you said, Foss Williams. Every game, every training, it would be that. Now it's, you know, mate, and again, you understand those guys are only coming in a couple of days a week for training. Now we're fully professional. So there's a much closer relationship now with the coaches and the players. So you can get your message across much more effective, you know, in the sitting, put your arm around them. I'm nervous about where it's gone in that, you know, we send you a text message whether you've made the team now, you know, and so I think we've got to come back a little bit, and we're a bit too tilted one way. I think we need to get back just a little bit and level up the boat. I think we're listing a little bit on that level of the way we communicate with the players.
Mm. Phil, fantastic, mate. We'll move on to the 36ers. Thoughts so far, and what potentially do you think they could do? I mean, we've said for a good sort of week or so that when it's pre-season and you're losing, we say, don't worry, it's only pre-season, doesn't matter. But when you win, you really get yourself up and back and say, well, this is our year.
Yeah, it's a really good point, isn't it? I mean, they won the Blitz, so everybody's up and about in Adelaide. They're talking them up and they're talking themselves up, which you've got the right to do when you win it. Winning form's good form. You don't want to get seduced too much by it, but it is good form. You know, in a couple of their games, they were well behind too. 20 points, came back and won some games. I suggest that that's not going to be a good formula over the course of the season. But we find out real early. They play Perth on Friday night in Perth, and then they come back here on the Sunday and play Illawarra. So two games in, you start to get an idea of, well, was pre-season just that pre-season? Or we've got a pretty good group together. And I think they're under a bit of pressure. Grant Kelly, the owner, has made no secret that he's put a lot of money in the last two or three years and hasn't got the result he wants, and they need to get a result. So CJ in his first year is under a little bit of pressure, and I think they need to get off to a good start to get going.
Where do you see the league at the moment? Phil, it's as popular as it has ever been, apart from when you were coaching Adelaide to champ after champ and Gazy was running around. Do you feel, is this the most popular and the best in terms of standard that you've seen it for a very long time?
No doubt. No doubt about it. It's as good as it's ever been. There was a two-page article in all the papers around Australia in Melbourne, you know, which is normally dominated by the footy. Certainly in Adelaide, there was a big spread this week, and it has been. You know, I drive down the street last night, I'm seeing billboards saying the games are coming up on TV. So there has been a massive lift in profile. I think it's off the back of what happened to the men at the Olympics as well, but it's been slowly building. So, and the talent that's come in has been really good. So I think the standard's up. It's televised on Channel 10 now as well as ESPN. So the access to it is much greater. The profile is certainly at its peak, and it's been certainly in the last decade, certainly.
Phil, can we get your thoughts on Ben Simmons? This is something that's been, I mean, we had updates every day for the best part of about 2 months. It's probably sort of shifted out a little bit in terms of interest, but this whole situation, this whole saga, and then the Boomers thing that was thrown in there as well, what's your thoughts on the situation as a whole?
Yeah, it's always tough when you haven't had a chance to talk to Benny, and we're a long way back from it. I reckon there's a couple of things that people need to understand. Firstly, if you've ever been to Philadelphia and watched the way that they support their team. It's love or hatred. There's nothing in the middle.
Yep.
And I reckon Benny was thrown under the bus a little bit in the playoffs in that, you know, he didn't shoot well. He still defended great. He rebounded well. He had his assists. So it was just one part of the game that he didn't dominate in. And suddenly he was the reason they didn't make it. So I think Ben walked away going, I don't want to play here anymore. I don't like these people. They don't like me. So I don't need to be here. So I think that may be the catalyst that started it. And then he felt the coach hadn't backed him in and sort of put him under the bus. So, and then it becomes, it's a business venture for them. So where it differs in the NBA to us here in Australia is that once Ben goes to his manager and says, I don't want to play here anymore, that's pretty much it for Ben. You know, the manager deals with the owner, and Ben doesn't, in Australia, that was in basketball, the AFL, you know, the players go around and see Ben and try and talk him out of it, and the coach goes and has a chat with him. And, you know, they might have done that once. You know, in Australia, we do that a dozen times. So you kind of get out on this island where you feel isolated, and that's where Ben was. And I think with the Australian side of things, I reckon Ben felt that he wasn't in a good space at that time to commit to the Boomers. So I actually think he was trying to do the right thing, and people misread that as he thinks he's too good to go and play for the Boomers. So I personally think if Ben could come back into the Boomers environment right now, the brotherhood in there would be really good for him. It would be a really safe place for him to get his love back for the game. And right now, he's just confused. He's a young lad, you know, earning $200 million. He's confused. He just needs some guidance in the right. And I don't think he's got the right guidance. I think that's the other part that's probably affecting him.
Is it affecting in terms of trade value and his desire for other teams to bring him in at the moment? Because it just seems like, as you mentioned, he's in limbo at the minute, costing him $300,000 every time he doesn't play. And, he's in a bit of a hole at the moment. He's still got a little bit of cash up his sleeve. But is it going to affect his future in the NBA?
Mate, I'm not laughing at your question. I think it's just the way it rolls off. He's losing $300,000 a game. It's like it doesn't matter, isn't it? You know, we're going, mate, I'll be happy with $300,000 for my whole career.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, I think it's a good point that you make. Is it tarnishing his reputation? I sense perhaps a little bit, but I reckon that's marginal in the way that the American system goes about its business. I think it's more the price tag that's on him that the teams don't want to have to pick up that price. I reckon they're hoping they can swing a deal where Philly pays some of his money and whoever picks him up, be it the Lakers pick him up, that they don't have to pick up that full salary that he's on. So I reckon we'll probably see him come back. I think he'll play a little bit. I was thinking he'd probably play in somewhere in this month, but it may be January, and then he'll go and get drafted out of that. And, the first time he plays in his new environment, if he plays really well, everything's forgotten and they'll love him. So it'll happen that quickly.
Phil, what were your expectations of Josh Giddey going into this NBA season? We loved him last year, and he's been in Adelaide for 5 minutes, so we claimed him as a South Australian. He's actually a Melbourne boy. Yep. Has he gone above and beyond what you thought that he would in his start to his NBA career? He's just fun to watch at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think anyone that said they thought that's what he was going to do when he got to the NBA is lying. I can't see that anyone would have expected that Josh would have had the impact that he's had. He's a ripping lad, and but we all thought 19, going to the NBA, take a while to find his feet. It's been the opposite, hasn't it? He's just been brilliant. And we've all enjoyed watching him play. I just had a quick look at their games coming up for this month. They play 15 games in December. So I almost have that feeling, and I hope it doesn't happen, that I reckon at about 45 games in, Josh is going to hit the wall. You know, that's where that youth, that he just hasn't got the body to continue to play day after day, every second day, and he'll drop off a little bit. So right now, he's playing great. I think we're all enjoying it. And you're right, mate, we claim him as an Adelaide boy. And, his dad's claiming him as a Melbourne boy. And they'll have a little bit of a battle. I'll give Waz a ring in the next couple of days and say, come on, mate, we need to sort it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You've mentioned the Boomers a couple of times this morning, Phil. Were you,
yep,
like Gazy, were you an absolute blubbering mess when you were watching them during that Olympics campaign? And how proud were you?
Yeah, look, first one, super proud. Super proud for the boys. And that one step from fourth to three is taking a long time, mate, to get the bronze medal. So it was a great moment. Yeah, shed a tear, no question. Called a couple of boys that I'd played with over the journey, and we're all, everyone was a little bit choked up about it. I mean, Gacy cries when he stubs his toe, so I don't know that we want to read too much into that one, but, so no, it was for everyone. And I think his outpouring when you saw it on TV was pretty much how guys that had been around it for a long time still feel connected to it. felt that emotion and felt that moment for sure.
Phil, before we let you go, I will tell you as well, late 90s when I started going to school, we were 100 k's north of Wagga Wagga, and there was just a really solid zone of massive Canberra Cannons fans. And I'd be decked out in the merch, bags, all these types of things. So you were a massive reason for that. Thought we were very cool heading off to kindergarten year one. The championships, do you guys keep in touch? Do you have reunions?
Yeah, not as much. Footy's much better at that than basketball. We get one probably every 10 years. I still talk to Herb McGeechan, catch up with Tad Dufour. I've spoken to him a couple of times because his son's now going to play here with the Adelaide 36ers. And Dave Nelson and Andy Campbell. So occasionally, you know, you get a phone call back and forth and ask the boys how they're going. I was nervous. I thought you were going to hit me with the comb-over story, mate, or the short bit. So, we still, probably every decade there's or certainly when it falls on the year of a championship, you know, an 83 becomes a 93 or 2003, you catch up then. So whenever that year rolls into a championship winning year, there's a reunion then.
Outstanding, mate. We appreciate your time this morning. Always fun to chat. North Adelaide are in absolutely outstanding hands, and it's a very good reason why Serge has got you on board. We'll chat again really soon, hopefully, mate. Cheers.
Look forward to it, boys. Cheers.
Phil Smyth. I mean, in terms of, SA sporting royalty, really, really up there.
Yeah, and we weren't going to mention the comb-over or the short shorts, particularly the Canberra Cannons days, but if you haven't seen Phil Smyth in rolling with those, just Google it. Just Google images, and it's some of the greatest things you'll ever see are those short shorts. And there's just a wispy sort of comb-over that's all over the place after halfway through the second quarter, but just dominated, didn't he?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's as iconic as it gets. That hairstyle, we talk about some of the hairstyles coming and going. Mullets are absolutely in at the moment. Eventually they'll fade back out and people will realise, this generation, that, yeah, they're absolutely horrible. But the Phil Smyth comb-over, is it due? Is it ready to take off?
Could be the next thing that comes back, the Smyth-Bartlett combination.
Don't forget as well, let's get right stuck involved with the NBL and 36ers. Catch every NBL game live on ESPN with KO. Streamed on KO as well, so 36ers, we're up and about. See what they can do, but Phil's right, tough start. Perth and Perth, and that is as tough as it gets, I would say.
Has Mitch McCarron been playing pre-season?
He has. He was named Blitz player of the tournament. He's very, very good.
I'm telling you, he is a star. So you got an absolute ripper there, obviously torn from Melbourne United to the Adelaide 36ers, so, which is interesting because we talk about my Victorian SA status and which one I am. I'm actually a Melbourne United fan when it comes to the NBL.
There you go. Hutchie's got you on board.
But I'm a Reds fan when it comes to the A-League.
So you know Mitch McCarron very well, like you said. So we've got an absolute beauty on our hands.